Okay, folks, welcome to the Blessing Call. We're so happy you're here today. We are now in record, so welcome, everybody, and welcome, Glenda. I see that you just came online.
I did. Hello, everyone. It is always such a joy just arriving and starting this call because I'm going to be in contact with my favorite people, our community, and all that we share in our love of Christ, our love of one another, and our desire to just make the best contribution we can to our personal and shared life. We are a family, and we're a growing community. So I'm really, really glad to be here with you. And thank you, Nancy, for getting here and opening the call so everybody knows they've actually arrived at our community place and not just in outer space. You know, you never know online where you're arriving. And so we want you to know you're in a safe space of loving people who come here for the same thing you do, to enjoy the presence of each other, most of all the presence of Yeshua, and to receive a blessing. You know, we should never, ever take the blessings of life for granted. There's something to be grateful for every day. And I want to encourage you to be in a state of gratitude, even though you probably have some very real reasons, specific reasons, for coming to receive a blessing every Sunday. And I hope the best reason of all is because you just love it. It's kind of like loving a back rub. Who wouldn't? And these blessings are here, available and given freely to anyone who seeks, who knocks on the door and arrives. And you can pass them on to your loved ones as well. It's not, even though you may receive the blessing, in your heart, you're coming because you want that blessing to travel on to someone you love or some situation in the world you would like to see better, helped, healed, in peace, or just getting better. We are on a very, very positive journey of moving towards everything that has been promised to us from the beginning of time. We're here to anchor in the creation of our Heavenly Father, to complete His work of creation. He set in motion everything for the universe eons ago, and bit by bit it has been rolling forward and rolling forward, and finally anchored into the physical life of our beautiful planet, where we were given residence and management of this beautiful place to make it all that it can be. And I just want to pass along something that is just so, it surprises me every time I hear more about it. And that is how far we have come toward a connected human community in just 100 years, compared to the thousands of years that we have been creating a life here, creating our small communities, our indigenous places of creating and sharing life and building our families and our heritage in isolated places, but we have come together in amazing ways. In just 100 or 200 years, I was, just to give you an example, I was doing a little bit of research for someone else who was wanting to know about the history of medical management of a particular, well, I don't know if you want to call it disease, but biological challenge, let's put it that way, that needed to have some helpful management. And I came across some historical data that just even 200 years ago, our medical profession, members of the AMA, surgeons, nurses, practitioners in all dimensions of medical practice, whether it's a cardiologist or an orthopedist or a pediatrician or all of these specialties we have today, there was none of that 100 years ago. None. And 200 years ago, and this will probably make you laugh and think I'm being sarcastic, but I'm really not. Not at all. It's with the greatest respect I have for the courage men and women had to try and help their fellow humans as best they could. But surgery was actually not allowed unless it happened on the battlefield or in some other dire condition, that it was a matter of life and death, because surgeons were actually equated on the same level of professional respect as butchers. That's not meant to be derogatory. It's a fact. And it just scared me. And it brought awe to me for the courage they had to face. Like the damage that was suffered in so many wars of the 1900s. And the daring and the bravery of someone to take someone else's life in their hands. And how little we actually knew about what to do. George Washington was killed through bleeding, intentional bloodletting, thinking the surgeons or the physicians believed that would relieve hypertension. And I was just blinking. I was thinking, not just that, but let's look at the improvement in sanitary conditions in towns and cities, in immunology, just in the, I mean, I was just floored. I really was. I was so embedded in this discovery, I couldn't do anything else for hours going through research of what the way people lived and the amount of respect I had for early cultures that actually had running water and sanitary conditions in ancient villages and cities. I thought, oh my goodness. And here we are, all of this just radically leapfrogging forward. And I can only imagine where we will be 100 years from now. It really gave me so much respect for people who put their lives on the line, who opened up the intelligence that was available to us, the combined collegiate work that we had, putting our hearts and minds together to build a better community, a caring community, and ways in which we could work together, get along, and put together what we do know to make life better. I have such gratitude for that. and thinking, you know, I have had a major extended life because I had two hip implants. That was 20 years ago, something that could not have happened in my mother's life. And I was just thinking, oh, my Lord, how people suffered and how they worked together to make the best of every situation they could. And I just feel this gratitude for everyone in our history, everyone that moved forward the fastest they could, and for being here receiving the further blessings of Christ to give us all courage, peace, inspiration, clarity, heart, mind, and soul to be here and bring about the fulfillment of the promise that was given to our ancestors that we would inherit the earth and that we would actually experience the presence of heaven on earth. So when you come to receive a blessing, it may be for a particular challenge you're having or someone you love, but it may also be enough to amplify your gratitude for everything you have and more that you can make of it and more important you can make your life to yourself and others. It's with this spirit of gratitude that I opened the book, The Keys of Yeshua, yesterday to just ask Yeshua and my angels and my Heavenly Father, what should we talk about today? And it opened on the power of purpose. Purpose. This is, you know, whatever purpose you come here for will bring you an extreme blessing to your life. And it may open for you in quiet ways, subtle ways, over a period of time. But just receive it and receive it with gratitude. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be, just in case you want to be following us with your book, here's where you go. The soul's purpose and the power of purpose it brings to our lives. In my book, it's on page 239, and for anyone who might have a different edition of the book, it's on chapter 19. And the opening line is this. There is a purpose to your life. You were born to fulfill that purpose in a way that no one else can. You bring to life talents, gifts, and experiences like no other. Every experience is a key to your purpose. Every talent is a tool for your purpose. Every person in your life is a coach for discovering or refining your purpose. Each life has a natural built-in reason for living. Purpose is the creative spirit of life, moving through you from the inside out. It is the deep, mysterious dimension in each soul, which carries with it a profound, intuitive sense of personal identity. Now, before I read any more or say any more, I just want to express in an extemporaneous way that you are rare. There's no one else like you. And this is God's gift to you, is your uniqueness. And you were given a purpose or many purposes, and they all derive from what makes you unique. So it just amazes me how many people are discouraged because they say, or they'll tell me in just conversation, not necessarily counseling, well, you know, the problem is I just don't have any purpose in life. And I'm thinking, what? What? You don't have a purpose in life? Being here is enough purpose in itself. But I began to think about what the best answer to that is. And we created a webinar a long time ago just about that subject. The first mistake we make in trying to find our purpose is looking externally. It's really not an external job. And one of the mistakes that we give to one another is we give others kind of a shopping list or a restaurant menu and say, well, now here's all the things we need. This is what we need to be done right now. Which one would you like to do? And we look at the list and we look at the menu and we think, well, you know, I'm not really qualified to do any of this. Does that mean I don't have a purpose in life? Oh, what a mistake that is. Well, see, that's a mistake externally, and it's a mistake to respond internally. Your purpose is going to be grounded in, well, let me just read this. It's the opening to the next paragraph. Your soul's purpose is to be the love that you are. You move toward this perfect state of being by supporting the purposes of life as they're presented to you. But you don't have to be an expert at any of them. You could be like I was, learning about all of these developments we've had in the last 200 years and loving the people who brought them about, loving the developments. You can love the purposes other people have, and your gratitude is a gift. Your gratitude becomes an orientation for you. You may think, well, you know, I wish I'd known sooner. I would love to have been in the medical profession, but I think it's too late now. It's not too late to be grateful. It's not too late to remember all of these caring people in your prayers. It's not too late to direct other people into that area if they have such a desire. It's not too late ever to be a loving presence in regard to any activity that's going on in our planet. Just to be here, to be the caring person that can see a need. And if you can't do it, well, find someone who can. Or perhaps learn how to do it. One of the things that has amazed me through life is the power of life itself to activate a talent I didn't know I had until I just got busy with a situation. I would be, well, okay, I'll give you a real, real definite example right here. One of the things my mother would try to tell me over and over again as a girl, and I'm talking about a, you know, school girl, she would say, you're going to grow up to be a teacher. And I would say, no, I'm not. And she would say, well, why not? And I would say, because I've got other things I want to do. And teaching is full-time work. I'm not going to do that. And she would say, well, you'd be really good at it. And I would say, well, let's just hope there's got a lot of other people who'll be good at it, because I'm not doing it. Well, I went on a little further in school to where I was in, high school. And if my, this was not just one teacher, but several. And if they had either an emergency call or they had to be called into a conference, you know, while class was going on, I would always be the one they would say, Glenda, could you come to the room and just take charge of the class? And I would think to myself, why me? I mean, what am I supposed to do up here? And she would say, well, you always have studied well. Just get them to recite what they know. Do whatever I would do. And I would say, well, okay. And I would get up, and I was actually pretty good at it, but I was sure glad when the teacher came back. And I got all the way in graduate school, and my fellowship had a little assignment clause to it, and that is I had to be a TA part-time, meaning a teacher's assistant. Well, my teacher liked to have a little more time off, and so she'd give me the whole class. And the first time I actually got up in front of a class and I actually had to teach, I was scared to death. I mean, really, I was scared. And I couldn't open my mouth. And so I would just, I wrote on the blackboard my name, because these are not friends. These were kids that were in for undergraduate study, and I was in graduate school, and I had to have a little bit of, presence in the room. So I put my name up there and the name of the course, and then I would write on the board what we were going to study today. And so I had a little bit of creative ingenuity, and I would turn back to the classroom and ask them, What did you expect to be studying today? I get them to talking, so I didn't have to. But, of course, they would be asking questions that I had to answer. Pretty soon, I was rolling, and I thought, I'm not supposed to be good at this, but I am. And after it was all over, my teacher asked me how I did. I said, I think I did fine. And I surprised myself. I actually loved it. And, that it caused me to be given more assignments to be in front of a class. And I found I actually loved it. And so I would start preparing not so much for how I would learn, but for how I would teach. The page just turned for me. And ever since then, I've been teaching one thing or another. Painting, art history, other things. I owned a vineyard and I studied viticulture, graduated in it, and there were other people starting vineyards, and I would go and teach them how to do it. I hate to sound frustrated on that, but I mean, life was moving through me, and it was calling me to teach. So my mother didn't observe something irrelevant. I just didn't like it. And ever since then, here I am, and here I am with you, and loving it. So what I'm trying to tell you here is that life will bring you into contact with your purpose. It isn't something your mind will figure out. In fact, your mind is probably going to figure out what you can do the most efficiently, the most profitably, with the known talents you already have. See, your mind doesn't create. This is what we're going to eventually learn with this new coming of the age for AI, is AI doesn't create. It assimilates. it gathers information and it puts great amounts of information together, and that can actually benefit humanity. But if we think for a minute it's going to create, it can't. Our mind doesn't create. It's going to assimilate from the past, and it'll probably come up with something that bores you. I would just say, find your purpose, roll up your sleeves, and get busy. And look at what you do best. Look at what you love, because what you love is the purpose that God put in you. Even before you were born, you were given purposes. You were given an orientation to life that you may have rejected after you were born, because you'd look inside yourself and say, well, I can't do that. Well, of course you can't do it. You haven't even gone to first grade yet. Right now, what you need to do is just learn from your parents and your environment, your friends, and take the next step. Sometimes just taking the next step is all we need to do. But at the same time, you need to learn that it's your soul that brought you the purposes you have, because it's your soul that knows from the very beginning why you came here and what God had in mind for you. And also, I'm going to tell you right now that discovery of purpose, even for the soul, is a continuous pursuit, rewarded by an endless procession of revelations. You're going to, first of all, get a little interested in something and then decide that you're more than interested. You might actually like to learn how to do it. And then in doing it, you might like to join a profession or a hobby or a civic club or whatever you could join together with other people who like doing that also. And also keep in mind something. I'm going to read you right here. Now, this is from Ecclesiastes, and it's from Solomon. Okay. We have a great heritage in our culture of wisdom. It didn't all start with Yeshua, but it started with God, imbuing predecessors of him with wisdom to move life forward. And in chapter 1, verse 3, it reads, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now you see, you may have purposes that just were not relevant when you were 17 years old, when people were asking you to make a list of purposes you had in life, or even when you were 29 years old and you were filling out not just job applications, but tests about competency and interest and aptitude, aptitude tests. And you would go through that and you'd check off the things that interested you, that you were good at, and you get to the end of it, and it would be processed, and the things that would come back to you still didn't interest you. And something happened when you were 32 that changed your life. It changed it forever. Let's just say it could have been something negative. Let's just say you were in an auto accident. And thank goodness you survived it. It wasn't all that bad. But you went to physical therapy. And that's when you learned that you had, not only were you good at it for yourself, but when you were there, you gravitated toward helping everybody else that was there get through their daily exercises to help out your therapist. And you developed a love for that you didn't know you had. You had no idea that you had. And you had always had a love for sports and athletics, but you weren't really good at competition. You didn't like competing, but you found something now you could apply to the area of athletics. You discovered you wanted to become a trainer, a therapist with a particular athletic orientation that you loved. And you became one of the best trainers in your community or even in your field of expertise. How would you have known that when you were you couldn't have known it when you were 17, because even though you loved athletics, you didn't like competing. You didn't really want to be on a team, and you didn't feel like you were a winner at it, and you wanted to win at something. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Things come together. Like this says, right now, there to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. You may not have, you may find that right now you love kids. You want to work with kids. But you learned when you were 23 or 24 that you're never going to have children. And that made you really sad. You turned inward about it and you thought, well, I guess kids are just not for me. But guess what? Guess what? When you meet the love of your life, he already had two kids. And you fell in love with them. See, this is the kind of thing I'm telling you. It happens. Because the discovery of purpose is a progression. It's a continuous process. Rewarded by just an endless pursuit of how you can love and be of service. And so we go through this chapter and we learn that, you know, it's a way of putting together life in a meaningful way and ordering our way of time and energies around what we've been given to love and serve. And I want to say this before we wrap up this subject, is that one purpose is not more important than another. What makes it important is your dedication to it, your devotion, the thrill you have in doing it, and the joy it brings to your life. That's what makes, because you are the living purpose. It is the love that you are that is here and present. And I'll give you a few ideas about why we have so much difficulty discovering our purpose. Well, the first and most common is that we think it's determined externally by supply and demand, what other people need most. Well, yes, we do serve others through our purpose. We definitely do that, but it's still not, it's not a menu that we scroll through and pick this or that and say, okay, I'll serve in that way. You have to love what you're doing. But, you know, you may not love it at first. You just do it. You know how to tell? Here's how to tell. If it's actually, even if it's something you're not crazy about, if you feel your energy increases, your life energy, that means life is directing you to it. Life is the one. It's not people that want you to do that. It's life that wants you to do that. I'm serious. The life in you is going to come forth, and it's going to energize you in that direction. So notice, even if it wasn't particularly exciting, you're not all that tired at the end of the day. It's like, well, you know, I was better than I thought I would be. I guess I was appreciated more than I thought I would be. And then the next thing that alerts you to a purpose is greater self-esteem. One of the things that turns us away from greater purposes that kind of scare us is low self-esteem. We think, well, you know, I barely graduated from high school. I don't have a college degree. I don't even know what I'm good at. Why should I be considering any of these grand, high-paying purposes? Well, just do what calls you. You're going to feel an increase in self-esteem. Why? Because you're important, finally, to someone else. When you feel that state of importance, when you are respected by someone else, they actually ask you for help. They actually ask you to tell them how to do something to make their life a little better. Your self-esteem is going to grow. You don't have to force it. You don't have to cultivate it through prayer or meditation. You're just going to notice. And something else that's going to increase. And it seems a little ironic, but your gratitude, you think, well, wouldn't the people I serve be the ones who are grateful? Well, they probably are. And they will be in time. But you're going to experience gratitude, enormous gratitude in being able to serve. So, if your energy increases, if your self-esteem increases, if your gratitude for the ability to serve and move forward increases, you know you're on a hot trail of your soul's purpose, and your soul can make anything you do sacred. Anything sacred. Because you're making life better for someone else. You're making the progression of life in a community flow better, function better, coordinate more, and have more appreciation for one another at the end of the day. And this was the process you went through to discover your purpose. And it didn't happen by finding it externally. If your life is anything like mine, and most of us are more similar than we think, when we go out to look for purposes externally. A lot of them are going to feel too grand, too big, too impossible. A lot of the others are going to sound boring. Like, do I really want to spend my life doing that? Well, once you get into it, you will. One of my best friends in Lots is an accountant, and she absolutely loves it. And I asked her once what she loved about it. She said, I make life work for other people. I get their world organized. I help them confront numbers and statistics that they couldn't confront. They would dodge it, and they would get in trouble. I keep them out of trouble. They are avoidant about their taxes. I make taxes a breeze for them. I love helping people with their chronology, with their math, with their numbers, getting out of something they can't figure out, or getting through something they can't figure out. I thought, you know, wow. If I had set out to be an accountant, I would have been the worst in the world. From the beginning, arithmetic and math were not my good subjects. I am this quality-oriented person where I want to think about how good can I make something, but it would never have occurred to me I could make things better through getting the numbers right. But they did. I couldn't. See, your purpose, when you find it, will be unique to you. It will be where you serve others, where you make life work for another person or many people. And it could be as something as simple as being a hostess at a restaurant that helps people get the place they want in the restaurant and helps them be patient just by telling them something. You know, the table number 17 is going to open up. Why don't you just sit over there and wait instead of taking a place right now that you won't like? You know, people appreciate that. They appreciate that you help them through life. I know somebody who was an urban bus driver. And when he retired after 40 years of continuous work, people threw a party for him. They would wait on the street corner before that for his bus to arrive. They wanted to ride with him because he made their day start on the right foot. I was there. This is when I was living in New Orleans, and I was, you know, I wasn't there through all the years of his career, obviously, but through the last couple of years. And I went to his party, and oh my gosh, the people who loved him, everybody loved him. People who waited for his bus loved him. And people were crying that they wouldn't be able to ride his bus anymore. And friends, don't underestimate anything, that any gift you have, that you could help the life of another person. We're all moving forward so fast right now. So fast. We've got to have help from everyone around every corner we turn, around every table we set, around every book that we catalog in a library, about every recommendation for reading you make to a child, about everyone who can't read now and you help them in a literacy class. Everybody is helping us move forward to a better place on earth. And I'll just, well, I think I'll close with that, because really, your soul's purpose is to be the love that you are. In the end, that's what matters. Well, Nancy, will you take over the floor? Hello.
I will. Such a great subject. Gosh, it's so good. And I'm having to look at this a lot with retiring, you know. You did stuff that you really loved and made a difference, and it was a purpose for sure. But the deeper purpose comes now as I move out of it into the next thing. And it's like that subject you always talk about, connecting, making those connections with life and the living, and the fact that, you know, I always love that Yeshua taught us that life is love in action, and we are love. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's each moment. I think we overcomplicate it somehow.
We do. And for you, just take your peace right now and have your closure and allow you to love the life you lived and carry that love forward. It's the love you want to carry forward, not the doing.
Exactly. And it's unfolding, and I see that. And I'm really grateful for that. So for anybody who's experienced that or is getting ready to, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Be engaged with life and write with what's
before you. You will be very needed. Everybody is very needed. And don't think you are not for a moment.
It's so true. It's such a kind and beautiful truth, isn't it, to know that about ourselves? And not to underestimate that. Thank you for those beautiful reminders, Glenda, you know, about putting our life together in meaningful ways and to just, you know, I just love it. It's just so good. And we have a couple callers, and we're at a really good point here. I'm going to open up, I believe this is Caroline. Caroline, welcome to the call. We're so happy you're here today.
Yes, and I've got two things I wanted to talk about. The first is a kind of gratitude story and a purpose story, because I've always loved singing, and for the past year or two, I've been singing at the Nepali Farmers Market with my honey, Steve. And when we started, we were not singing in time, we weren't that great, and actually there's customers came to the market and complained to a vendor, "This music is terrible. I want to talk to the organizer about it. Where is he? And the vendor said, "Hop there on stage. You can make it up." But now they like it. I'm doing harmonies and we're having a lot of fun. It's drawing us more together. And the high point was yesterday, because we had, I don't know if you've heard of the guitar legend, slack key guitar, Grammy award winning, guitarist called George Kahumoku, who is a friend of my honey's. And he was in town and he did a whole set on stage, at the farmer's market. We would normally be doing our stuff, but we didn't want to do it because what a tough act to follow. But he had me up to sing Amazing Grace with him. I was singing Amazing Grace with harmonies, and it was wonderful. I had my camera going. When I looked at the picture, my head was chopped off because I wasn't expecting to be getting up on stage to sing with him, but it was fabulous. And I thought, wow, I'm never going to have that opportunity again, but it was amazing. He invited us to a jamming session last night. We were just sitting in the audience, and he says, "Come on back up on stage," and he has me doing it again in front of all those other people. So I know I actually do have a recording of it. But that was so wonderful, and we sang it in Hawaiian as well as in English. It was so cool, and such a wonderful song to be doing, because It's all about, you know, the grace of the Lord. So,
discovery.
And thinking, it's getting into a path. Yes, and it's about, and I was blown away, you know, because I didn't think, am I really that good? You wanted me up. He said, you have a great voice, and it was fabulous. So that's that. And that was wonderful, and I'm very grateful. And I also want to ask a blessing for my oldest, for my youngest son, actually, who is dealing with the death of his dad's mother. And they were sort of a little bit estranged because she was schizophrenic, but they're finding there's a huge mess there and some fraud out of a bank account. And he's having to try and untangle this, and he's terribly stressed by it. So I would like it to be a smoother path for him and for everything to be going well, and that he can sort of untangle everything and not have too many issues going on. But he sort of seems to have come into a sort of hornet's nest of mess. So I'd like a blessing for him, a blessing for Rella in the, you know, who's passed on, and a blessing for my ex-husband, whose mother it was. So hope that that situation can resolve in an easy way.
You got it. Blessing and happiness coming your way. Okay, great.
Yes. Well, thank you. Yes, keep singing, everybody. It makes you happy.
Love it.
Exactly. Love it. Well, you know, everybody, just take a moment and think about the time when, or many times, when you were just being yourself and you discovered something that became a new purpose. A discovery about yourself. It's already there, everybody, but you have to discover it. It may be
that's so true.
Something.
Yeah.
You know,
because with me, it was harmonies. I didn't realize I could just do these harmonies. They just come to me, and that makes everything more interesting to listen to.
Of course. Of course. So everybody think about that, a time when, just take a moment and think about a time when something happened that just brought your life forward, and you knew that you wanted to do a little more of that. Now, maybe it wouldn't become a life-fulfilling purpose, but you found you liked it. You found you could add it to your list of enjoyable moments and ways of connecting with other people. And you never know where it will lead.
Exactly.
So, in many ways, this presentation today follows extremely well on what we presented last week about joy. Because that's another way you find your purpose, is that it brings you joy. It may have solved a problem. It may have relieved an anxiety. It may have caused you to stop worrying about something, or it just may have brightened your day. But you've got joy as a payback for it. Well, Nancy, let's see.
Okay.
I think we've got Stormy on the phone.
We do. Hi, Stormy.
Yes, I had a beautiful blessing a couple of days ago for my house giver, caregiver, Lisa. Her mother, who's 92, is dying right now, and she's finally made it peace with it, and Lisa's going through a difficult time at home with it. But just before she left Thursday evening, I had her come over and do a little fingertip handhold. And I told her, I said, you know, Lisa, I want to thank you for sharing your life with me. And just all of a sudden the tears just started flowing down her face. And I said, you know, Lisa, I'm the kind of person that people can just let go and feel safe with and let go of those pent-up emotions they need to. I know this about me. I've seen it all my life, and I want to thank you for being in my life and that you continue to be in my life. But what a beautiful blessing to, again, I know who I am, I practice who I am. And I just thought that was a beautiful example of being who you are and what it means
for other people. It is. And you see how much gratitude you had for it, too. It wasn't just her that had. Yeah, the gratitude just built up.
Yeah, and I'm going to my own business, health with my blood pressure, 200 over 100 the last couple of days. It finally got down. I've been sleeping pretty much all afternoon and finally got down to 140 over 73, which is acceptable. But I'm glad to see my heart doctor come Tuesday. But it doesn't matter what kind of physical condition I am in. The healing is still there. And I really want to appreciate the singing on stage, this coming from someone who does Stormy's music, the music that I do. And I also wanted to remember a movie. It is called A Boy Called Sailboat. It is a perfect example of what happens when I sing one of my crystal bow notes in front of people. What happens when I do this is what happens in this movie. People experience the peace that passes all understanding just when I sing one of my crystal bow notes. Not all the time, but some of the time. And so I really appreciate the story about singing on stage. I really appreciate that and want to give thanks to keep the music alive. People sing it.
Amen. Well, Stormy, you're so good at passing on the blessings, and we sure appreciate you.
Also want to appreciate what you had to say about the medical community, because my friend June, that I speak with once or twice every week, one of your blessing givers, teaches at a medical school, and I really want to tune in to be thankful for what you had to say about people like her who teach medical training. And I really am thankful that you were able to bring up that subject that I am close and dear to with her. So again, the harmonics of what I'm experiencing, June, you are talking about, is all coming through in the Holy Spirit here, and blessings that we all receive and give. It's what we're here for. What I told Lisa, that's what we're here for, each other. And, and the more we can practice that, the better off we will become and be. And we're getting there. There's a whole lot more going on.
We're getting there.
Yeah,
okay.
Stormy, we're building up our list of people trying to talk.
Okay, thank you, Stormy. We love you. I'm going to open up our next caller. Sarah, welcome. Your line is open.
Aloha, Glenda and Nancy and beloved community. I'm so happy to be here. It's like my most joyful moment of the week is tuning into this community. I wanted to say I planted my potatoes and my beans while I was listening to the lecture. So I asked for a blessing for all of our gardens, that they may nourish us and that we share with our brothers and sisters. And I want to ask for a special blessing for my dad, Peter Sullivan, for all of our precious elders, that they know their purpose in their final chapter and that they complete their purpose with God. And finally, I want to ask a blessing for my boyfriend Scott, as Scotty, as I call him. And he, just really is feeling a lack of purpose. So this was just a perfect lecture. I want to just channel that energy with him and for all of us, that we know we are so needed and our purpose is sacred. Thank you.
It is. And thank you, Sarah. It's always good to hear your sweet voice.
Blessings to Scotty. Yeah, we love you too, and Scotty's not alone in that. So I know a big blessing will be blasted out for him today. So thank you, Sarah.
Yes.
We have someone from Montreal. Welcome.
Hi, Nancy, Glenda, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi. It was very encouraging to hear your talk on purpose. I really appreciated it. I have a request or a blessing. I emailed a suggestion I had about a petition for a day of prayer, and I just wondered if if you have any comments or suggestions for that type of thing.
I will think it over and seek guidance on that. Yes, we certainly do need it. I don't know how to plan that into our work day, but you know, with a little creative thought, we'll come up with an answer because it's so worth doing. It is so worth it. And thank you for that suggestion, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean, it was specifically directed to the United Nations, like a, you know, worldwide day of prayer. I tried to write it like as non-sectarian, I guess, as possible.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm hoping to connect to the right people. I sent it to the ambassador to the UN.
Then if I get this right, you're hoping that it will be the UN that will sponsor this day of prayer.
That's right. Yeah. And I want it to be a sort of an anonymous, sort of a government proposal, like, it's a common day of prayer, so it's not specific to an individual. It's a worldwide.
Well, I think that's a great idea. We'll see who we can contact on that. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Glenda. I really appreciate your program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. We do have a final caller, Glenda. Area code 642. Your line is open.
Oh, good morning from down under. It's Linda here. Hi, Glenda. Hi, Nancy.
Oh, hi Linda.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hope you're well, sorry. It's a work day here. It's Monday, so I didn't get the majority of the call, which I'll listen back to, but if it's on purpose, it sounds right up my alley. So I appreciate adding on to Sarah's request that, yes, a purpose for elderly. I feel like I'm in that last, you know, later season, and also my son, similar situation, who's been out of work and had some challenges over the last 3 years, so he would fit into her request as well. So thank you, Sarah. The other thing is just really general blessing for peace. It just feels like we're so inundated with more and more chaos and more suffering, but also blessing for all those people who attend to these situations. We have a young family in our church that volunteers out in Sudan and flies needed equipment around. But, you know, many of these people really put their families and themselves, you know, out there, and I just always pray for their protection. For myself, we're traveling back to the States to see my mother, who's 91 now, and so, Glenda, I just wanted to reach out. I made another order, but we're only there for about 10 days, so if you could add that order to that previous one we were trying to work out last year, because it can all be sent to my cousin's house, so I just wanted to reach out. If you hadn't seen that order, if you could put those together that way,
you
can bring them back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Linda. I don't like to talk business on this call, but send me an email, and we will communicate until we get a plan that will work, okay?
Yes, absolutely. I did send an email, but just in case, I know you get so many and probably so many requests, so I just wanted to highlight it here because I am there for such a short window.
Yeah, yeah.
But added to that, just... Yeah, just so gracious all the time, you and Nancy here and everybody else that contributes to the call. It's just, yeah, blessings and so much love to you. And thank you very much.
Love to you, my dear. And have a safe trip. And I just have one little summary thought, which I will get through quickly so we can get onto our blessing, is that sometimes we get stuck on a purpose that we had at one phase of our life that it doesn't seem to work anymore. Well, that just means we need to look for a different one. And this is especially true with elders, because when we get to that phase of life where what we did for a living or what we did for our family or our community is no longer suitable for our life, we don't have to just veg out. We don't have to just stay quiet. There's room for a new purpose. And that new purpose can be sweet, it can be easy and joyful and fulfilling. There's no reason anybody should ever live without some purpose that brings their unique character, purpose, or interest into expression. So just understand that the discovery of purpose is an ongoing thing. It's not just about your profession. It's not just about your spiritual or community service or your place in a family. There is no end to purposes we can express, deliver, and fulfill. And they all have a season. There are purposes someone in their last 5 or 10 years of life can find that would not have even emerged when they were 35 years old. There are purposes that belong to every season. As this reading I made to you from King Solomon, to every purpose, there's a time and a season. So just let go of all the purposes that are not relevant now and find the purpose that is relevant now. It will brighten your life. It will light candles in the dark and take away disorientation or a sense of futility that you or someone you love may have. There's always a new purpose. If you've been kept on, I'm just going to say this point blank. If you've been kept on for another year, 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years, there's a reason for it. And that reason will lay in the purposes you will discover in that new and renewed space in living. God doesn't waste life.
No.
He's got a reason that he kept you on. Look for it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Linda, and thank you all the callers and everyone here today. We feel your love and your energy, and we are so glad to be together. And Glenda, our board is now clear, and we're at a good good time today.
Well,
so I'm going to put us into lecture mode.
Wow. Nancy, I think we progressed perfectly today, better than ever before, just right on time, every segment, every opportunity. Oh, and I would like to, for those of you who didn't get on to ask a question, or didn't choose to, remember, we have a special email line. It's called askablessing.com. And you can send me your blessing, and I will print it out. I will have it in front of me, and I will pray on it even before the time of the blessing. So I want everyone to have a way to be heard. And sometimes it just doesn't feel quite right to express it publicly and orally. So there's the what.
That's right. And it is askablessing.org, just to clarify.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I got it, so it can be either or. But
okay.org,
because that was not forwarded. Okay.
Oh, if you, gotcha.
If you accidentally forget and send it to .com, it'll be forwarded to me. Yeah.
Perfect.
It is askablessing.org. And we will get it, and we will pray on it. And the nice thing about writing me what you want is I'll have it with me during the whole next week. So as I offer new blessings and new prayers, I can include you and your loved ones in it. So there's a real special advantage to that. Okay. Well, now we want to get ready to receive. I guess you came here for lots of reasons, but most of all, you came to receive a blessing. And I want to encourage you to know that your blessing, it doesn't come from me. I'm just a facilitator. I'm someone that opens the door and welcomes you in the room. And Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, and God your Father are going to hold you in their love, in their arms, and breathe upon you fullness of life that will find all of the areas of your life that need to be blessed, that need to be helped, and need to move forward. So just relax. The first thing we're going to do is we're just going to take some intentional deep breaths. That's the first thing you did in your life. You took a breath. And so it's a great way to start a new day, a new project, a new anything, is just with some deep, full breaths. I'd like you to inhale deeply and fully in through your chest, up through your sinus cavity, whichever feels right to you first. But don't leave anyone out. Let every part of your body receive that breath of life. Let's just take a deep breath in. And hold it. Hold it. Hold it. And now let's begin to exhale, but with a little bit of control, because we're giving back to life that which we've been given. It's always a two-way street. For every blessing you receive, there's a blessing you will give. Let's take another deep breath. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Now exhale, slowly, slowly. Now this one we're going to take specially to go upward into our sinuses, because we want to make sure we've got a lot of oxygen upstairs to say hello to the Spirit, the breath of God. So take a deep breath and through your nose and send it upwards into your sinuses. Make your head swell more than you ever thought you could. And hold it. Hold it. Hold it till your shoulders relax and fall down, which will happen. And now, let's blow that one out. Just blow it out. Let's take another one. Through your nose, up through your sinuses. Hold it. Hold it. Hold. Feel the expansion in your space. And your shoulders drop as you expand every space around your head. And now blow it out. Through your mouth. Now that we have filled our body with more oxygen and we've given forth breath into the world around us, let us express our state of relaxation. If you can stand, I would like you to stand. Be on your feet. Hold on to something if you need to secure your balance. Back of a chair. Anything, a table. And step forward into that so that you can actually bend forward a little bit. Take your left, let's take your left or your right foot either way. Step forward and bend into it so that you stretch your low back and the back of your leg. Now, let's take the other leg. Step forward a little bit. It doesn't have to be much. Okay. And bend forward again. And feel the stretch in your low back and the back of your leg. Yeah, there was more tightness than you knew, right? All right. Now, I want you to remain standing and turn to your right so that you revolve, you pivot on your spine a little bit. And then I want you to move back to the center and then move to the left so that you pivot on your spine in the other way. Now back to center. Still standing straight. But if you're sitting, that's okay too. I want you to turn your shoulder to the right so that you're going to pivot the middle and upper part of your back. Stretch as far as you can. And now I want you to go the other way and pivot on your spine to stretch your body as far as you can. Raise your right hand as far as you can, whether you're sitting or standing, either way, as far as you can, and reach for a piece of air, a cloud, anything that you can. Reach for it and now close your fist on it, so that you tighten the muscles in your arm. And then fold your arm so that you bend it towards your chest. Now I want you to do the same thing with your left arm or your other arm, whichever it was. Reach as far as you can up. Stretch that shoulder. Stretch your arms so that you really feel a release in your shoulder and reach into a cloud, a tree, a star, anything, and close it in your fist and hold it so that you feel the strength in your arm. And now bend your arm into your chest. Take both of your folded arms and extend your elbows so you're like a little bird flapping your wings. Okay? And now raise them and lower them. And raise them and lower. And raise and lower. And take your hands and beat on your sternum. This will activate your immunity, your immune system. This will give you strength. This will, you know, we need to activate our lymphatic system. Our blood system is already activated by our heart, but our lymphatic system needs to be activated. And lifting your arms like I asked you to do, and then beating on your sternum, will activate your lymphatic system. It's a good thing to do when you're receiving a blessing, because a lot of times that blessing comes in the form of protection or in the form of healing or just better sense of well-being. Now, I want you to turn your head to your right so that you twist your neck a little bit. Good. And then to your left so that you open your neck a little more. Take your chin and tilt it up. Not far enough that you make yourself dizzy. Just tilt your chin up so that you stretch your throat and draw the back of your neck back a little bit. Okay. Now I want you to take your chin and tuck it in so that you're stretching the back of your neck. And you're tucking your chin into your chest. And now we hold our head up and we look up. We cast our eyes up. In admiration for everything we will receive. And then we cast our eyes downward in reverence for the prayer we are offering to receive. The last step is to be seated, and not in a lounge chair. Be seated in a chair that has a 45-degree angle, seat to back, so that your legs are pointing out. Your feet can be on the ground or the floor. Your feet are going to energetically ground all of this energy into the earth. And they're going to draw energy from the earth. So your feet need to be. The only way you can get that position is to sit in a chair that puts your feet down. Now, if you can't do it because you're bedridden, that's okay. We will just work around it. The powers of God are unlimited. I just gave you the preferred position. Okay. So, now, this is where you will offer your prayer as the blessing is given. It can be a silent prayer. It can be a spoken prayer. And the reason for the prayer is so that you can most perfectly direct all of the energy that is being flowed into your body, heart, and soul. The energy of the universe is vast and diverse. We want you to get that part of the energy which is focused directly on you and your needs, just for you. I will begin now with my prayer to Yeshua, and then we will follow with the conduction of the Holy Spirit. Yeshua, Lord of life, creator of the world, the earth, and life as we know it, we ask for your blessings upon each person in our congregation and upon all that they love. All that they care about, all that they would seek blessings for, be with them. Remember them. Give your love unto them. We ask this now for healing, for peace, for discovery of purpose. for better union with their family, their community, and all that they desire for blessing. Hear their prayer. And I thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to be a bridge that conveys our love into your infinite field of blessing to bring forth to each person that which is most needed, most desired, and most required to move forward. We thank you for your love and for being with us. And we ask this for all of humanity, for the one great soul we are joined into. May that soul be blessed. And may there be peace among us. May there be hope for a better future, for a great consummation of our Father's creation, that we may become fulfilled in the way he created us, in the way we can offer into this world a better life, fulfillment of life, and joy of life. We ask that you be with the children, for they are the heart of our joy. They are the heart of our reason for being, that they bring forth an anointed life that can discover a greater purpose among us all. We ask for motivation among us all to feed the hungry, to take care of one another, to love one another, and to be the fulfillment for one another. And now we surrender to receive. As you come to us and fill us with your love. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me in conveying the energy of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen and amen. Your blessing has been given. Now received. I want you to go and to a place where you can lie down. Your bed, a sofa, mat on the floor, or the backyard, wherever. I just want you to be horizontal now, that you may level out all the blessing that has been given, all the energy that is poured through you horizontally, so that it is equally distributed through your whole body, heart, and soul, without priority, ennobled, universal, and equal as the breath of God. I wish you a blessed week, much fulfillment and happiness. May you pursue your life with purpose. And come back next week. We would love to have you take another blessing, always. Bye-bye for now.